Thanks, Michelle. Shall we pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, and we come before you this morning and ask that you'd give us attentive hearts and minds and ears to hear what you would say to us and to respond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, are you a tennis person or a football person? That is my question to you this morning. Wimbledon starts tomorrow. Euro 2016 is ongoing. Are there likely to be any disagreements in your household about which to watch? Well, just turn to somebody who's near you and tell them, are you a tennis or a football person? Always a popular topic of conversation. This could obviously go on for quite some time. I'm going to bring you back. Continue that conversation over coffee. Well, as Sandy said, over recent weeks, he's led us in a sermon series on prayer. We've thought about why and how we pray, what we should pray for, and how prayer makes a difference. And today we're going to ask the question, why pray together? Well, some of us will naturally prefer what you might call a tennis style in prayer, just us and God on court, as it were. Others will find praying together with other people much easier, football prayer, if you like. The whole team on the pitch, passing the ball with a shared goal in sight. Maybe you're equally happy with both. But many of us find that we have a natural preference for one and need to work more on the other. In the New Testament, we see both individual prayer and praying with others practiced and taught. Jesus both withdraws by himself to pray and prays with his disciples. In John chapter 17, we see that Jesus was with his disciples when he prayed, and they hear and are able to record his prayers. When the disciples ask him to teach them to pray, he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches a model for prayer which is designed for group use. He tells them to pray Our Father, to ask for our daily bread, for the forgiveness of our sins, and to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And of course, we can pray the Lord's Prayer alone. But even when we do so, we are instantly reminded that we are part of the whole family of God, those who belong to him through Jesus, his church. Through our relationship with Jesus, we are joined in relationship with all those who belong to him, and joined in sharing in his commission to the church to go and make disciples in all the world. Well, in the book of Acts, from which we had our first reading, we see that the early church's experience and understanding of this shared identity resulted in particular identifying features of their fellowship, their shared life, and worship together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we hear that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Prayer is mentioned a total of 31 times in the book of Acts and in 20 out of the 28 chapters. It's an integral part of everything that we see happening in the life of the early church. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 tells us they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And that's a particularly startling verse, because women weren't permitted to join in prayer in the Jewish temple with the men. But here we see how Jesus' inclusion of women had transformed that practice from the very beginning of the life of the early church. So we see from Acts that the early church joined together in prayer, not just on an occasional basis, but as the fundamental basis of their life together. Well, that sets the scene for us a bit, but it doesn't yet answer the question, why do we pray together and not just individually? So now we're going to turn to those two readings that we've just heard and think about three reasons why praying together is important to our Christian lives. In our shared dependence on God, in our unity as his church, and in our encouragement of one another. In our 21st century Western prosperity, it's often easy for us to forget that we're entirely dependent on God. However unintentionally, we fall into the trap of depending on our own resources, on our own strength. But when we pray, we actively demonstrate our dependence on him. The early church faced enormous tasks and challenges, and by prioritizing prayer, they admitted their joint reliance on God, their need of his guidance, and their ultimate weakness without him. When we come together to pray, we're not just depending on him for our individual needs. We're depending on him for all that we need in order to live together as his church in a way that brings him glory, to be obedient to his mission and call on us in the work he's given us to do together as his church. We're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And praying together helps us to keep our focus on that. It helps us to glimpse the bigger picture. It challenges the narrowness of our own individual focus. In Acts chapter 4, we see that Peter and John have been imprisoned overnight. And the following day, they are released, but commanded not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. They immediately go back to the other believers and tell them what's happened. And in verse 24, we read that when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Their immediate response is to turn together in prayer. In the face of the threat by the religious authorities, they come together to God. They acknowledge his ultimate sovereignty over all things. Sovereign Lord, they say, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they consider the futility of human opposition to God in the inspired words of David in Psalm 2. And they think back to how, in their own lifetimes, human opposition has been used by God in the fulfillment of his purposes in Jesus Christ. In verse 27, we read, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And in the face of threats, knowing that the same authorities had conspired to put Jesus to death, what do they then ask God for? Not to escape the suffering, but to be enabled to continue to speak God's word with boldness. So in praying together, they recognize the sovereignty of God and their dependence on him for the fulfillment of his purposes. And their prayer is answered. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God powerfully enables them in response to their prayer together in accordance to the mission that he's given them. So by praying together, we recognize our shared dependence on God, and we also acknowledge the unity that we share in Christ. Immediately following the believer's prayer, in verse 32 of chapter 4, we see that the believers were all one in heart and mind. They were united. Praying together is one of the single most significant things we can do to cultivate unity in the church. Praying together is both an effect of the unity that we share in Christ, and it results in a deeper and richer experience of that unity. Praying together unifies us as we share together in our faith. And our unity itself is a witness to the truth of Jesus' resurrection and his transforming power at work in our lives. In our second reading from 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us to live in peace with each other, verse 13. When we pray together, we actively pursue that peace. We acknowledge our need of one another and the essential part of every member together in the body of Christ. And praying together also unifies us in our mission as a church. It involves us in every aspect of the church's ministry. We can hear about and join in with what's happening when we meet to pray together. Not only is this something that we can all do, it's one of the most important things we can do in the work of the church. Well, the third thing we're going to consider is that praying together is a significant means of encouraging one another, as well as helping each other to grow in faith and our own practice of prayer. That example from Acts chapter 4 is a great inspiration and a challenge to us today. The individualism of our culture has caused us to lower our standards of fellowship in comparison with that of the early church. But through our relationships with one another, we're sustained as we look outwards to the needs of the world. Through praying together, we motivate one another to seek God, the source of all our strength. By praying together, we discover not only joy in God and in prayer, but joy in the gift of one another through our care and our support for each other. And alone, we can easily lose sight of or confidence in God's sovereignty and of his purposes in the light of our own suffering and of the tragedy that we're confronted with in the world daily. But by praying together, we encourage one another at such times. When we can't find the words, others can. And if you've ever heard somebody praying for you, you know the truth of that only too well. The encouragement of others praying for you is greater than simply praying the same thing yourself. We grow in faith as we listen to one another praying. C.S. Lewis pointed out that it takes a community of people to know an individual person. You discover different things about a person through their relationships with others that you wouldn't discover simply on your own. Different friends and family have different relationships with you and experience you in different ways. And in light of that, Tim Keller has said that by praying with friends, you'll discover different facets of Jesus that you wouldn't otherwise perceive on your own. If you have brothers and sisters, then your experience of your relationship with your parents is shaped by and shared with their relationship. Just as you wouldn't think of only ever talking to your parents on your own, so we don't only ever pray to God by ourselves. We will know Jesus more when we pray together, and we will know one another better when we pray together. In that reading from 1 Thessalonians, we see that we're called to embody the gospel in a community life of mutual love that's demonstrated through forgiveness, kindness, encouragement, support, respect, accountability, and challenge. And in verse 16, Paul goes on to say, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That is a letter written to the whole church. Such fellowship is only possible by the grace of God, and therefore through our dependence on Him and our unity in Him through prayer. We need one another. So to conclude, we're going to briefly think about how we pray together in our own context here today. I wonder what you found most helpful or most challenging about praying with others. Well, just have a think for a moment, and then if you've thought of something, maybe turn to somebody near you if you're comfortable to do that and share it with them. Something that you have found most helpful or most challenging about praying with others. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to turn to people near you and share that. Well, I wonder whether it was bad enough I made you talk to each other, and this is even worse. I wonder whether there's anything that anybody would like to share with all of us in the light of that. Maybe examples of praying together in home groups or in church prayer meetings or just with one or two others. If anybody's got any thoughts they'd like to share, I think it'd be really good for us all to hear. Thanks, Stuart. We need to pray for the environment. We can do that together. Carolyn.
I'm always impressed when Stephen Hinkston does the prayers. I can say that because he's not here. I'm not embarrassing him. He prays very specifically for things, and it challenges me to be much more trusting and faithful and expectant when I pray about really specific things.
Mm. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. There's a couple of hands at the back, Bruce and Yolanta.
Thank you. Charlotte and I were discussing how important it is and effective when we pray with other people about things that maybe we've kept private to ourselves, and that by opening up and revealing those things, that people aren't judgmental. In fact, they just take that on and pray with us, and that it's a very freeing and affirming and positive thing. And added to that, I just think it's particularly important in this country, because we tend to be very closed and private. And now it's in this time, it's time for us to open up and be more honest with each other and let people see who we really are and our real feelings and emotions, so that we can hopefully start to heal as a country, be more aware of each other's suffering, and hopefully move towards a more kind of unified way of being.
Thank you. Billy Graham said, if you want to see change in a nation, then you need to get on your knees. I think that's particularly apt at the moment, isn't it? Bruce, thank you.
I've gone through a period of ill health just recently, but I've been very grateful for, and I know there's tremendous power in the corporate prayers, as I always call it, i.e. the prayers of the church as a whole, which I've been included in, on the sick list, and also the prayers of the home group, and when I pray together and people have prayed for me. So, and at the end of the day, there's been a very positive and good result. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. That's really helpful. Any other comments?
Fran at the back here. I'm running.
Sandy's getting some exercise.
Thank you. I was just going to say how very long it took me to share prayers in home group, and how difficult I found that initially, because even though I'd been going to church for many, many years, it wasn't something I'd witnessed within a group, and I did find it very, very difficult. But now that I can do it, I find it a lot easier and very rewarding.
Thank you. Well, if there isn't anybody else, that leads me very nicely into what I was going to say next. Bill, have the final word, Bill.
I just think it's really helpful in our prayer not to thank God for what has gone well and what is going well in our lives and everybody else's life, and actually just to thank God, because there's, you know, actually probably a lot more to thank God for than actually to trouble him with. And when I say trouble with, I mean there's a lot of things on our minds that just maybe quite correctly bring to his attention, as it were. But I think it's getting the balance between that and thanking God for all things going well helps to make a healthy prayer life.
Thank you. And of course, we need each other to do that, don't we? Because quite often, if you're not in a place where you're feeling that, then to be with others who can pray that is hugely encouraging and helpful. And even if you are feeling thankful, there will be a sort of point where you'll dry up. But actually, with other people, you can keep going. Other people will bring other things to mind, will encourage you in praying and praising in that way. So thank you. Well, there isn't just one way in which we pray together. There are many ways. It might be in our families. It might be in a home group. And that's one of the main ways that we pray together here. Or it might be just with one or two others that you meet with regularly to pray with. In our church services as well, as Carolyn said, we have different people leading our intercessions and people available to pray with us personally at other times after the service. And the variety of styles and personalities will help and encourage us in different ways. So that's really important. And there isn't a right way or a wrong way to pray. God hears and understands our prayers, even if we get tongue-tied when we're trying to pray them out loud. And coming to the church prayer meeting, for example, and praying silently is also fine. You can encourage others simply by your presence there. Well, like Fran, I didn't grow up praying out loud. That wasn't my experience in the church I was part of. And when I started at university, I spent 2 years meeting with two other people to pray. And I prayed silently and they prayed out loud. And it took those 2 years before I built up the confidence to actually ever be able to say anything out loud. For all of us, in different ways, the discipline of prayer is hard. And it's a journey, and it's one we're all on together. And that's why we really need each other so much. I still regularly struggle to motivate myself to go out to a prayer meeting. I know how important it is. I know how exciting it is. I know that it's the main work of the church. And of course, now I have the advantage that it's part of my job. But without fail, I am glad when I've been. I'm glad when I've been with other Christians praying. It's rather like the discipline of exercise. You feel energized by it afterwards, even if you don't want to do it at the beginning. If you've only ever been a tennis person in prayer, then in this season of Euro 2016, can I encourage you to think about how you might be a football person as well?